Often the sources for names are obvious. Greek mythology, names from the Bible, place names. For African Americans stripped of tribal and clan names during slavery, not entirely by choice, given names became prominent American white historical names. The Jeffersons, in many cases, the Jacksons, Washingtons, the Lincolns. At the end of the 20th century, the name Washington was believed to be 90% black, according to the U.S. Census. This conformity to a name with few authentic cultural roots encouraged families, particularly with first names, to embark on an adventure, to find new names, perhaps even made-up sounds that say something other than somebody named me Jefferson a long time ago. Markeith, Devante, Lakeish, Nakisha, Keon, Laquisha, names with their own origin and history. And with a history also available quite easily online, a history that sometimes makes the task of choosing a name that much more of a challenge. Nakisha Drayton has written of this challenge for our partner, The New York Times. Nakisha, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi.
So what were the options when you went about choosing or beginning the process of choosing the name for your unborn child?
Well, it was really early. We didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, and I really didn't have anything in mind yet. But the father of my child came with the idea that he wanted Keon as the name. And at first, it was a bit jarring to me because I knew somewhere in me that the name Keon sounded black. And from my personal experience with my name, I knew that I wasn't too sure if I wanted that to be my son's name.
So when you grew up, having the name Nakisha, even though it has its own historical and cultural roots, people just looked at that as just some black name.
Right, exactly.
What were the consequences for you? How did people treat you?
Well, luckily for me, it didn't personally affect me because of the fact that I always excelled at what I did and I didn't exactly grow up in the ghetto. But at the same time, you know somewhere in you that the name isn't acceptable. In fact, I have a comment that was posted on my article that kind of gives a little bit of what I was feeling, and it kind of hit it right in the nose. It comes from Kathleen in New York. She says, "When I told my mostly black Girl Scouts that I was writing a book about the troop, I asked them for a fake name so none of them would be embarrassed by the story of their childhood. They all had names like Damara or Tanisha and Desiree, and they wanted their book names to be Emily, Jane, Sarah, and so on. And when I expressed this disappointment, they said in horror, what, you want us to have ghetto names?"
And in your case, I mean, the way you describe it, even though you say the consequences were minimal for you, you have spent your life trying to exceed the expectations of your name by doing very, very well. It's like a race with the connotations of your own name.
Exactly. And even more so, I dropped half of my name and made it Nikki, so that on first appearance on a resume or anything like that, you would not see Nakisha as the first name.
All right. So your husband wanted the son to be named Keon. You were a little worried about this, so you did some investigating. And what did you discover?
Firstly, I looked at the meaning of the name. That's what really won me over to the name. And my heart just melted when I saw God is gracious and born of nobility and these strong meanings behind the name. But I remembered my first initial feeling of horror when I first heard it. And so I went into the image box in Google and typed in the name, and something came up, but that was still even more than I expected. Mugshots after mugshot after mugshot came up of black, young African-American men. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't even think of this name. And this is what's coming up. African-Americans and with mugshots, side profile, front profile, it didn't matter.
So now, did you scientifically try to see if virtually any name in the image box, if it's just a name search, brings up somebody who's been arrested somewhere?
Well, no, I didn't try to do any scientific proof behind it.
But you did discover some patterns.
But I did discover patterns, particularly, like I said, LaShonda, Devante. Anything that was sounding black or you know to be black, that was it. It came up mugshot after mugshot. And anything, Emily, Sarah, Kevin, anything that's, you know, to be a white name or a biblical name. In fact, it gave me little memorabilia about, say it's Matthew. I love Matthew came up with little coffee mugs. And yet, every time a black name went in, jumpsuits, mugshots. It was just so incredible.
So now you have a decision to make. What did you decide to do? Because, I mean, in a sense, those are individual people.
Right.
If you hadn't Googled that, you wouldn't necessarily have those connotations associated with the name.
Right.
But now you kind of can't escape it.
Well, I must say that I kind of caved. Keon as the middle name, and I chose Marcus as the first name. I had to battle with myself a lot with it because I know from personal experience how it feels to have to always be battling against your name. So I didn't want my son to have to eventually be put in that position, just like I did and just like his father did. Because his father's name is Markeith, and he ends up using the name Mark for anything professional, because he knows the connotation with having a black or the equivalent of a ghetto name.
So even though Mark or Keith individually are not ghetto names, Mark Keith is a ghetto name.
Well, yes, and Google does prove that as well. It does show all the mugshots of black men.
Well, we on our website have some of the same searches that you've done, so our listeners can actually see exactly what it is that you found.
Right.
I mean, this is a long battle, people battling their names. I mean, I suspect there were other kinds of battles going on in the 1800s for black families who were suddenly named Jefferson and Washington. It's a battle that continues even as you assume that your son is not going to end up in one of those image blocks, right? Or maybe he'll end up as a Nobel Prize winner, right?
Yeah, but growing up, you know what it is. And I'm not sure if it's something that I want for him to have to battle that against that every day, even within himself. You know, it's a battle that you have to battle every single day. You wake up and you know that, okay, I'm not going to use my full name. I'm going to have to shorten my name, or I'm going to have a nickname, because I don't want to be seen as being ghetto.
Well, good luck. And is your son with us yet?
No, I'm still pregnant, 7 months.
And you're down with this decision, right? No turning back from here on.
No, that's the name. We fought hard with it.
Well, why don't we, when Marcus Keon is born,
you're right,
let's get a picture up on our site to maybe blast out some of the alternative images there on Google.
Agreed.
All right, we'll do that for you.
All right, thank you.
All right, Nikisha Drayton, writer and expectant mother. Thanks so much.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.